Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there.
Welcome. We are so glad to have you. Sorry for the confusion.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, live show. And I want to welcome you both. We are so excited to have you. The whole world out there is excited to have you because so many people know about Alex Gray's artwork and Allison Gray's artwork. And we have an amazing co-host, and her name is Miss Love. She has interviewed the likes of LaToya Jackson on TV. And Miss Love, just want to say hi to our guests.
Hello, welcome, welcome, and we're very pleased and honored to have you in, on the show today. It's definitely an honor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to it. It's great to meet you over the phone.
And the how are you feeling? Oh, I'm sorry, Joey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, how are you all feeling? We definitely are aware of the recent events, and we just wanted to definitely wish you the best and most miraculous recovery, and just wanted to know how you're feeling at this time.
Why don't you go ahead, honey? You want to talk?
Oh, sure. I am so incredibly grateful and happy to be alive. It's a kind of a high that's been lasting for 3 weeks now. So it's unlike any other substance I've ever done. I have to say the after effects are really quite uplifting, and you just feel so grateful to be able to wake up and you're seeing the day, and even though your back is broken, that has nothing to do with your spirit, really. Mm. And so there are even forms of turtle shell armor that we're able to strap ourselves into and walk erect and do our some of our daily creative work. And I'm working on a painting, Allison's working on a painting, and so we're getting to enjoy our retreat center, which we set up a bit over a year ago, and we've been renovating like crazy. And now we have some bedrooms that are open and things like that, and we took one of them. So we're the first ones to go on retreat here.
That is amazing.
It's incredible. We've got such a staff here, and they are so pouring out their love on us. And we've got friends that have come in to beautify the house and present flowers all around. It's been an outpouring of love that I have just been astonished by and feel so empowered by. So it's I hate to say that breaking my back was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
That's
no, funny. I just like to add in that even though our backs are broken, backs are quick and very rapid. So we are able to take pain medication, and we've lessened our medication a great deal since the accident, and we'll continue to do that. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Do that, and we're just feeling better every day. New
Great.
Levels of wellness are noticeable every day, and we're taking walks, and so it's like bones do heal, and the body does heal. The body does tend to heal. When we're ill, we have to keep saying that mantra over and over again. The body tends to heal because the body just wants to go back to stasis. It wants to go back to its wellness, you know.
Sure.
Let it, and we just have an absolute assurance and positive feelings about it. You know that the body will heal. The body will come back together again, stronger than before.
Right. Well, that's interesting that you said, you kind of manifest that in your mantras and in your positive thinking, because I also read that you all just accepted that this was something that maybe had to happen in order for you to receive more of the Creator's work, more responsibility, or more, you had to be awakened in some, I don't know, another realm of awakening in order to do more work and in order to reach another consciousness. And I thought that was very, just very wise and just very, I don't know, pure to, you know, take a situation and an incident of that, you know, nature and just to be so positive and just, you know, out of body, I would say out of body. It's like you turned it into a whole out of body experience. And that is just very inspiring, you know, to hear that. And I, it's wonderful.
Well, you know, Miss Love, that Alex and Allison have, their art is all over the world. There's no place on the earth that probably is not without an Alex Gray painting. And I feel like we're so honored to have you on the show tonight because so many people started emailing me the minute they heard you were going to be on the show. And it was amazing because I knew at once that Alex's work and also Allison's, there are people being inspired by it. And I, that's why I'm especially glad that you both are healing because you got to paint more, lots more. We're all just waiting, you know, for the next paint. Actually, you know, what would people do that wanted to buy one of your paintings? How would they go about doing that? Maybe y'all could tell us.
Well, they would get in touch with my wife, Allison.
Okay.
And, that would be at Allison, Allyson,
mm-hmm.
at Cosm, COSM.org. And COSM stands for Chapel of Sacred Mirrors.
Okay.
And the Sacred Mirrors are a series of paintings that were inspired by Allison some years ago. Back in 1978, I believe.
Okay.
And we had just done a performance in which I had made some anatomy charts and pinned them on the wall. They were life-size figures,
mm-hmm.
and they had their palms facing the viewer as the viewer is standing there. They were in the anatomical position, which is a classic medical position that's palms out. They're very similar, actually, to the Madonna and the kind of open-handed in facing the world, and it is the position that I used later for the Sacred Mirror series. But at any rate, I had these two charts. One was the nervous system, and the other was the what I call the life energy system, and that would be the chakras and the auras and the acupuncture meridians and points, the subtle energetic system that kind of weaves the soul and body together. And and we see it in all the Christian and even Tibetan art when we see halos and various things like that. So the artists have been drawing the light body for a number of years. At any rate, Allison remarked on our way home that this was the most successful element to this performance that we had done together was that people really loved the charts. And why don't you do a whole series of paintings based on that idea that kind of go from the body and through the mind and to the spirit. And so immediately I thought, oh my God, yes, that's it, you know, like a lightning flash. That, you know, that's what we're going to have to do. But we didn't know what they were called. So, but I was planning and working on the series. And about a year later, Allison comes home and says, I know what the name is. It's Sacred Mirrors.
Ah.
Sacred Mirrors. And I have never stopped marveling at that concept that we are all sacred mirrors of each other
mm-hmm.
when we reflect the highest possibility that each of us is.
Absolutely.
And that is the spiritual path. And that is the path of love and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a phenomenal basis or kernel of a truth that you can follow even back to the origins of occult wisdom. You know, the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus starts with, as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is a sacred mirror. God, the transcendent, is reflected in the immanent creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to awaken to that oneness.
Mm-hmm. And that is true. And I know I was going to ask also, what were some of your religious or cultural inspirations? And I know that Buddhism, it seems to be very prominent in a lot of your teachings, or maybe your consciousness, because you said oneness. And I know that Buddha is the universal purity of oneness in everything. And that in the mind, you know, we feel compassion for everyone, and we're humble towards everyone. And, you know, we're here to serve and to love and to uplift everyone, you know, in that oneness. So are there any other cultural inspirations that you would say your work derives from?
Well, I like to imagine that it springs from the core mystic truths that run through all the different wisdom traditions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my aim is, because mm-hmm. I think that's a common taproot, that the expressions of... I, for instance, love the mystical writings of Ibn Arabi,
mm-hmm.
who is... I guess next to Rumi, regarded in the Sufi tradition as one of the greatest of wise guys. And so there's a lot about creativity as a form of worship and prayer. And I'm really interested in that, because there's so many artists that feel that their, you know, whatever kind of creative thing that they do is their way of connecting with the spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of their religion in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've often felt, well, there's something really good in that, because most of the artists are not dogmatic about what they're doing. They're trying to evolve a body of work. So there's a little bit of, you know, creative dynamic in it, in that you always want to get better as an artist. You don't want to get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
You want to continue to deepen and enrichen your work however you can. Or become a better drawer, or become a better this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's about creative development. So instead of stasis in a kind of we know the truth. So there's a difference in a kind of a fixity,
mm-hmm.
to a fundamental kind of dogma. Which never brings anything into question, and the other continually questioning and pushing your creative edge kind of thinking. Now, it has to all be to serve spirit,
mm-hmm.
obviously, and there can't be any harm in it or anything like that. But if you use this kind of attitude of the artist to direct the film of your own life, you know, or to author that story, or to, you know, direct that play, or
mm-hmm.
or to paint that masterpiece, the unfinished masterpiece. See, that's the way, it's like God is the divine artist. We
right.
are living in the co-creation of the unfinished masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And as into the creation that we can become is how we can become masters of our own life, in a way, because we're working with creative force that is the divine artist that is playing out in each one of us. You know, we are the authors of our life, and we're working with the big author, you know.
Right.
Because we're all little scintilla sparks off from that great fire. So how can we get right with God in our creative work and have it serve the uplifting of the world before we all self-destruct, you know? That's the redemptive mission of art. That's what I always think.
Wow. Absolutely. And your performance art piece, Alex, where you and Allison were like showing before 9/11, I think, you know, that piece where, was it, can't think
Gaia.
Of the name. Yeah.
Gaia.
Just amazing. Just amazing. You know, it was like watching something that was so ahead of time, in time, beyond time, and you are really in touch, and that must be a very interesting place to be in our society, kind of with people but not with them, and we're all looking for you to kind of show us where we are and what we're doing and where we're going.
Well, you know, who knows, because I think that when my work is successful, it's when I'm not there, pretty much, you know, and that whatever was inspiring it, and I don't know, quite frequently when I'm starting something, although not as much anymore, but I really don't know how it's going to turn out. And sometimes they're very large, and I begin them, and I have, you know, great confidence that it will be wonderful to begin with. And it's kind of like starting off on in a great boat off on the ocean, you know. And then you get out to the middle, and you're about 2 or 3 months into the painting, and you're not nearly done at all. And you just, all you can see is choppy waves, and you know, it's like more seasickness, and you're, oh my God, it's not going very well. Are you going to be able to save it? Have you just been wasting your time? And then at a certain time, you just feel like you are really wasting your time, and you're pretty crazy, and you should give up. And so you're facing all the demons of distraction and all the demons that want to stop you from really completing what turned out to be, for me, because I'm talking about Theologue, that is a painting that is probably the favorite one of many people. It's this meditating figure sitting out under the top of a mountain kind of thing. And it's very archetypally kind of Buddhistic, because it has, but it's got halos, it's got acupuncture meridians and points and chakras and auras, and the mind, the third eye, is projecting a network of consciousness that is like a grid that goes infinitely in all directions, but like a perspective grid. And so it appears that the meditating figure there is creating their surroundings that they are part of. And so we are, you know. It's got a wonderful subtitle that it's called Theologue, which would be a conversation with God, basically. The union of human and divine consciousness, weaving the fabric of space and time in which the self and its surroundings are embedded. So it's about always creating the space that we're surrounded by, and that it's a union of human and divine consciousness that does it.
That does it. Well, you know, I would love to have both of you, Alex and Allison, share with us just a little bit about how you met, and very briefly what brought you together, or what you feel brought you together. First, if you don't mind, I'll take a very brief break, and we will hear a short piece called that is written and played by Rebecca Rodman, and it's on her cello. She is a member of two symphony orchestras in the San Francisco Bay Area. She's been on our show. She's co-hosted. And the piece is very fast, lively, and I think you might enjoy it. So if it's all right with all of you, I'll go ahead and give it a go.
Great.
Rebecca Rodman. We really love that. And that's Rebecca Rodman, cello player. And welcome back. We are happy to present Alex and Allison Gray, both painters, and we are going to let them give us just a, and also our co-host, Miss Love, who has been our co-host for about two other shows, and we really are appreciative. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to let Alex and Allison just tell us briefly something about themselves, how they met. I know there are a lot of people out there that will listen to the show live and also through the archives and will want to know pretty much how y'all came together. What brought you together?
Well, I was invited to answer this question by Alex. We met in art school at the museum school in Boston. And we were inspired soon thereafter to be sacred artists. We were inspired by the divine thereafter meeting. We actually had our first encounter with the divine through the substance LSD, which we shared, and both felt a mystical opening through that experience, as so many people. And in thinking about how we wanted our work to change, we
Allison, we're having a lot of breakup with your call. I don't know why. Could you call back in?
Sure. I'll try again. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Okay. I really appreciate it because I want people to hear exactly what you're saying.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll call
right
back.
Okay. And
should I pick it up or can you hear me or do
no?
You
we can hear
song?
You. Perfect. No, I don't know why that. Did you could you hear it, Alex? It's kind of.
I
could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of dropped out.
Yeah. She'll call back and it will be fine. And in the meantime, maybe you could tell us now, Cosm. Is going to be finished when? That is your new spiritual building for all
right.
The...
Chapel of Sacred Mirrors or Church of Sacred Mirrors. We've just been granted religious status by the IRS. And back to November 08 when we applied for this, we've been moving in that direction to be able to... create a church that brings together creativity and spirituality, and that will be the home of a temple complex here on 40 acres in Wappinger, the town of Wappinger, New York. It's in the Hudson Valley. It's about 65 miles from New York City, And it's an easy train ride up, and one can walk on a nice day. It's about a 15-20 minute walk from the train station, or we can come and pick you up. And it's also easy to drive to. There's airports actually in the area as well. But it is a beautiful 40-acre site, and we plan in the future, that is not built yet, to build a kind of visionary temple in the heart of the land. And there is a kind of heart of the land. The land used to be owned by the United Church of Christ about 51 years ago. And so they built a pulpit out in the what we call the heart of the land. And they had Sunday gatherings for quite some time out there in the kind of the Cathedral of the Trees. And there were black and white ministers prior to the civil rights times in the 59, 60, 61. It was a time when the whole issue was coming to a head, and it was really a remarkable and progressive stand that the United Church of Christ has always taken to show unity and love between brothers and sisters of the human race. So so that was one of the archival things that we found, was all these old photographs of the Sunday services there, and the black and white children as well. So that race was a big issue just in terms of showing brotherhood, sisterhood. And so in the theme, continuing the theme of unity, we also found that they wanted to build a chapel there. That was their intention from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We found an old map from 1960 that said chapel, question mark, and it was in that center point of the land. And so the other element that makes it remarkable as the heart of the land is it's the place, the only place where on this 40 acres where lightning struck a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the tree still stands, and it's an extraordinary tree. Anybody who wants to see it can go to cosm.org and go to the Cosm blog and find in January 1st of this year, with seven members of Allison's family, the Divine Feminine, we buried a rose quartz crystal in the heart of the land as a seed for the chapel to grow there. So this visionary chapel will be, we are raising money to do that. But the first hurdle that we have after the renovation of the office building, it's a complete rebuild. We're rebuilding the studio up here. There was a building there. We found it, the mold prevented anything from being built there, so we had to build a brand new studio. And now the guest house. We're staying in the guest house now. It's a beautiful old Victorian mansion. It's
wow.
Got quarters for a number of visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And we hold our full moon ceremonies, which will be tomorrow night, actually, here downstairs in the living room, in the library. And so we've been renovating this building like crazy, too, and adding sculptural elements and things. And
sure.
So it's coming along. And this year, our push is to open the exhibition hall, which will get the sacred mirrors back on view. This was always our intention, to get them on view as soon as we could, but several of the buildings were so in such bad shape that we had to invest this time into bringing them back so that we could serve the public in a better way.
Absolutely. And I think, Allison, are you with us?
I'm back with you, and I'm not so echoey, I hope.
I hope not. I think you're fine. And, you know, the thing about live shows are there are a few tech things, and I hope everyone understands that we're doing the best we can. We want.
Okay.
Go ahead, Allison.
Well, I was just going to add that Alex and I started
thinking about being chapel builders very early in our relationship. We had no idea how we would do that. Let me go in the other room. Hold on.
Yeah, maybe that would help. You don't have a computer on or anything like
that. No, but Alex and I be in the same room with the
that could be.
With the phones. They have two separate phones. I think that causes a problem.
Yeah,
A little better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, early on when Alex and I were both having our spiritual epiphanies together, which I think was really what brought us together was our spiritual life, we talked to each other about what would be the greatest contribution a spiritual artist could make. What would be the most profound and largest, greatest, highest, you know, contribution of an artist who was considered their work sacred. And we both said that a sacred temple. I mean, you look around in the world, you look at the greatest contributions of sacred art that exist on the planet, and you think of the pyramids, and you think of, you know, the temple,
right,
and you think of the different spiritual and sacred sites that people are still visiting thousands of years later when we don't even know who the artists were specifically, but the sacred sites still remain and inspire people for many, many generations. So we thought that would be, you know, a worthy goal for a lifetime. You know, like if you're going to set a goal that's like so large that, you know, it take a whole lifetime to achieve. So, and we could do it together because we both felt that our art was our sacred path and our sacred spiritual life. So we had no idea how to do this, and we had no, you know, we didn't, neither of us come from great wealth in any way. We had good education, but that's about all. And over the many years, I mean, we lived our life, we continued to, Alex's reputation continued to grow, and we had a daughter, and of course we wanted to be good parents and spend lots of quality time with her. She always shared the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors almost like a sibling because we decided not to have any more children. We had this great goal that we had to accomplish, and she would be with us in that achievement. But in any case, we let's see, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we were talking about this with our group of friends and our, what was it, Alex, our 25th wedding anniversary. And Alex was having an exhibition. We spoke with 50 friends that we invited to our anniversary about how we're going to create this chapel, which we had been talking about for so long, since the beginning of our relationship. And we were encouraged to start the full moon ceremonies. And Shaman, Alex Stark, our dear friend, said, I'm going to be the head of the prayer committee. And, of course, we felt like what we really needed was a fundraising committee, but Alex Stark's prayer committee is what really started the entire chapel going, because we started having full moon ceremonies in our studio in Brooklyn, and they started to fill up with hundreds of people would come, and we couldn't even get everybody in. It was getting so crowded. Mm-hmm. And then we were offered a space in Manhattan, and that, again, gave us even more visibility in Alex's work, more visibility. So we had 5 years in Manhattan where we had our full moon ceremonies and the beautiful exhibition there, and people flocked there from all over the world, many well-known people, people that you all know and that we all know, great writers and authors and actors and celebrities.
Deepak loved it.
Deepak is a dear friend and many, 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 many friends, Woody Harrelson and Shirley MacLaine, and, you know, we had just all of our friends who had come to New York, that we made many, many friends there, and then many unknown and deliciously wonderful friends, you know, hundreds of people that have become our friends and helped us in this journey. So this has been a journey, and we knew that we could not build a temple on the fourth floor of 542 West 27th Street in Manhattan. I mean, there was just no way we could build our sacred temple there. That's been our life's goal. So we had to start looking for this sacred land, which Alex just described to you, and finding this, like Alex found this property on findthedivine.com, which was amazing. There's a place that you can actually findthedivine.com.
We found it.
You found it. Well, I want to tell you, we have a lot of people in our chat room that are talking about everything. And, you know, actually, one of them said, it sounds like a beautiful place. She'd love to visit a deep water tree. She wants to know, or he wants to know, is there a meditation center on the site?
Yes, the entire complex is a meditation center.
Oh.
And our main form of meditation is a creative reflection, and it's a form of visioning and then drawing afterwards. But we also have the more straightforward Vedic meditations led by Eduardo,
mm-hmm.
who is our also our volunteer coordinator and one of our managers here. And he's a very spiritual man. And at our new moon events in the past, we would do a kind of mantric prayer that just had to do with oneness, you know,
mm-hmm.
and as a mantra. And so, that, I mean, that's basically the thrust of our work, is finding where creativity and spirituality come together.
Yeah,
I'd
like to reemphasize that our spiritual life here is around building. This is part of what we believe is our creative life, is our spiritual life. We get together. We have almost 20 people living here at any one time who are devoted to either building or the support of building. For instance, we have an online store where we sell objects, we sell apparel, we sell posters, we sell things at cosm.org, all the proceeds of which go toward building. They all go toward this concept of building this retreat center, building the buildings that we use for meditation and for meetings and for exhibition. And then we also have, we have an office staff, and we have a support staff of people who
mm-hmm.
cook and help around the place. But basically, our spiritual life is creative, so that we are always making things, we're always making art, we're making objects, and we're building. And that's really what the creative life here is centered around.
It's what, and, you know, I talked to Ms. Love right before the show, and I said, I know that, you know, they're into what they're doing at the moment and the new things, but I know there are a lot of people around the world that are going to download this show through iTunes and many other means online, and they will want to know exactly, kind of going into the past, which is hard, but more about maybe how you met. And, you know, you talked briefly on that, but also your book, Alex, A Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, will that not give people quite a bit of insight into your meeting with Alison Gray and your daughter and many things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Actually, most of the books will give some insight into that, which is the basis
right.
of the work. It's the love relationship that's the source.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, as far as going back in history, Alison was giving you the general lay of things. She basically mentioned also that we had met. It was my first time taking LSD, actually, and when I came to a party at her home. And there was I had just earlier in the day had basically challenged God, if that existed, that it should show itself, because I was pretty desperate as a young 21-year-old nihilist who felt like my life was over. And within 24 hours, my prayers were answered. Basically, I'd had a mystical experience through that substance, and went through a tunnel. And saw that I was in the dark, but I was going toward the light. And I wasn't getting quite, you know, to the light, but I could see that I was on my way toward it. And so it revolutionized my entire outlook on life. And I changed my name to Gray, actually, because it was Gray that brought the opposites together. That I was from the complete darkness into the light. And that was, and then I met Alison, and it was like divine love in the flesh. And it's been 35 years and enchanted.
Wow.
Amazing.
And you even have, I think I read, I might be wrong, your injuries when you had this accident not long ago with a car. Your injuries are very similar. Is that right?
Well, we were both sitting in the front seat of the car with our harnesses on,
mm-hmm.
and we went into two trees, actually, one for each of us on either side. So the impact into that embankment was basically kind of equal. It was weirdly equal, and I believe Alex's spinal injury might be slightly more of a crack than mine, but then I have a ankle broken. But, you know, all of this is well underway in process of healing. I can feel
that we are
getting better every day. But it is interesting to see us walking around with our identical little body cast. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I have a compadre and somebody to share this endurance with, because it's, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, no, we're great, except we realized that we couldn't help each other that much to begin with until we learned how to take them on and off ourselves and stuff like that. And so, but we've gotten much more mobile in the three weeks. It's almost
3 weeks.
Thank God
for the technology. You can take these things off.
Absolutely.
It's really nice to have them, and it's really nice to get in bed at night without them. And it's amazing, the medical technology that allows us to move around while we're healing. It's pretty incredible.
It's great. You know, it reminds me a little of Frida Kahlo, the painter married to
David. That's right. Somebody said I have a jump on my Frida Kahlo Halloween costume.
Well, now, when everybody wants to know, we have people that would like to know. Now, if they want to visit the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors or COSM, now, how do they do that? Well, I know it's in the making, but what do they do? They contact you? They go to your website?
Well, it's a good thing to check out COSM.org. And, in fact, if they are interested in what we're doing, they should sign up for the mailing list, which costs absolutely nothing. And you receive a weekly thing that Allison and I we sweat blood over this thing, putting together a few paragraphs that are something that are about either what's going on here at COSM or what's happened in our personal lives. So it's been great. A lot of these things wind up getting posted on Facebook and the distributed social networks and things anyway. So
our blog.
And then our blog, at COSM.org, the COSM blog, it does keep people updated on what's happening.
The way you can come here is this. Here's the way you come here.
Okay.
You get your mailing list, you find out when the full moon is, or another event. We have full moon events. We have a huge, incredible fundraising party with the Crystal Method. They're just a gigantic music group. The Crystal Method, Ken Jordan will be here, and Belly Dancers, and Jonathan Singer, VJ, video jockey, an incredible party we're going to have on Earth Day. So we have other events as well. We're going to be having a conference called Honoring the Divine Feminine is coming up. We have we have numerous events here, but you can always count on the full moon. We will always have a full moon ceremony every single solitary month, and everyone is welcome to come to that. And if you can schedule your trip around, and we have workshops as well. We teach, Alex and I. So if you could schedule your trip to COSM around our events or our workshops or the full moon, which happens every month, then you can meet Alex and I. We're always here. We'd love to meet every single person that comes, and we dance, we drum, we have great artists and DJs and VJs, and we have a great time whenever we get together. So, everybody's invited. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, because, you know, there are so many young artists out there that want to know how to get it on, how do you get your art in the world? I mean, 1,000 questions, right? And here you are saying, come on in, you know, come see us. We'll be glad to talk to you. That's very, very, I think, a little unusual, and I want to tell everyone to please go to alexgray.com and talk to them. Find out what you want. You know, I think you're in life. Our dreams are there. We just have to go after them. And we're lucky to have you both tonight. And I thought to myself, after looking at all your art, or a lot of it, in the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, that, you know, Allison Gray, your vagina is going to be in history. I mean, this is...
Absolutely.
There is no...
why not?
Why not? You know, it's like, Alex is such a prolific artist, and one of the... I mean, the detail and everything about him is beyond belief, and we're looking at probably one of the biggest geniuses, and I know that's probably hard to hear, but I feel like personally, and I'm not an art critic, I'm not really versed in art, but I do feel like Alex's art is incredible, and I just want to tell you both that I think you're wonderful, and just love, how are you, and what would you like to ask? And,
oh my goodness, well, you definitely said it well yourself, but I know that when I was gazing on the pictures, the paintings, as
mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier, I
sure.
felt as though I was staring into, you know, souls of these, you know, beautiful creations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I even felt that I was staring into my own soul. And I just, you know, it's beyond art, really. And and you definitely see. And before I even, you know, studied up on, like, some of your background,
right.
While looking at the paintings, and I felt the definite spiritual connection with the creative connection, and it's interesting because I've always, throughout my whole life, fed off of my creativity. And, you know, you go through your challenges and your trials and tribulations in life, but myself, and I tell this to everyone that I know, you have to use your creativity as your strength. This is our God-given talents, our God-given rights. And we have to use them. And when we use them, that's when we grow and we prosper. And when we don't utilize them, then we die and we become very unhappy with ourselves and we don't realize. And this is something that I came to realize about myself on my own. So when I hear you all speak in that fashion and I see how you've taken these, you know, these wonderful pieces and paintings and just transcended, you know, and meshed the spiritual and the visual, you know, it warms my soul and my heart. So I just want to say thank you for, you know.
I would like to say thank you to you too, Miss Love, and I'd like to say thank you to you too, Judy Joy Jones. I'm so thrilled to be on the show, and I just wanted to say one last thing. I couldn't agree with you more. I have no trouble saying that I'm married to a genius. I think that you are the greatest artist that ever lived. So that's why it's good to have me around, because I can say those things, right? But I
yeah.
would say that if you love the work, anyone out there who's listening who loves the work, the thing that's so wonderful is that there's something you can do with that love. You can support the building of
yeah.
a temple by just enjoying the work, by just purchasing a book, buying a poster, you know,
mm-hmm.
showing it to friends, and spreading the love of this wonderful, wonderful historic work. And when you do make a purchase from Cosm.org store, all of your proceeds go to building this temple. So you can come up here and see it someday in progress and proudly feel that you had something to do with helping to support the project, because that's how the project is being created, is by the support and love of all those people who love the art and love art as a spiritual path.
Allison, what if someone wants to have a painting done by Alex? What kind of price? Let's say just, you know, like an average size portrait, or what would they be looking at?
Well, let me say this. Hey, commissions are quite expensive. Alex does have several commissions ahead of him. He does.
Okay.
Right
yeah,
now
I'm
he's working on an amazing painting of Dr. Shulgin and his wife Anna and Sasha Shulgin. We're going to a conference out in San Jose, California, where Alex and I are keynote
wow.
speakers. It
wow.
is the psychedelics in the 21st century, psychedelic science in the 21st
yeah.
century.
Yeah.
It's about science that's going on, that's researching these incredible substances. And Dr. Shulgin and is a chemist, and his wife have been instrumental spokespersons and workers in this field
sure.
of psychedelic science. So Alex is doing a portrait of them, and you can own a limited edition print of
there
the historic portrait. That's one of the things. There are limited edition prints that are available on the website. The commissions are rare and occasional. Alex has two commissions ahead of him after this portrait, and they top the scales. They, you know, they. I'll tell you, they're quite on the high end. But the people who want them are leaders in their communities.
Yeah.
One of them is the CEO of MC Dean, who is, you know, a company that is, you know, we just flip a switch, you know, and we
sure.
get light. We don't
sure.
really realize what, you know, where light comes from. And these people, it's like the largest corporation that creates light in the world, really. And they create light, like time, they light up Times Square and stadiums
oh.
and things like that. So that's his company, and it's going to be really a painting for his company. This space is called Lightworker. It's going to be an amazing
wow.
about sort of the origin of the bringing of light into our world. You know, like, you know, we all just take it so for granted, you know, that we have light. And then
yeah.
the other portrait that Alex is working on is a portrait of a leader of the universe, the vegetal religion in Santa Fe, New Mexico. People who have a relationship with God through
mm-hmm.
their use of the substance ayahuasca, which is legal in their church, and it is ancient and venerable, and it has
uh-huh.
been led by shaman, and they became a legal church, and
uh-huh.
Jeffrey Brofman is the leader of that church, and Alex is doing a portrait of him in the context of his church. So both of these men are great leaders in their community, and so those are some commissions. But Alex does other works of art as well, not just portraits.
Sure. Not just for, well, we only have a couple of seconds left, but I wanted to let everyone know that go to alexgray.com and you can get some prints, and don't feel discouraged.
.org as well.
At .org.
.org as well. Cosm.org.
Cosm. Cosm. For Chapel of Six Mirrors, cosm.org, uh-huh.
It's
alexgray.com with an E-Y.
Great, G-R-E-Y, and that's going to be, you can get prints. Don't worry about not being able to afford, well, maybe you can afford.
we'll be able to, sure they
well,
can. And there's
you
drawings,
know.
There's drawings, there's watercolors. There's
yep,
colors.
Yep,
there's
there you go.
They're posted
yep.
on
yep.
our website. You can go right to the website and purchase a drawing.
And, you know, actually, the founder of Blog Talk Radio, Alan Levy, he might want a portrait of himself, although I don't think he realizes exactly what he's done here, but I consider him a genius in communications, and I certainly would love a print done by Alex Gray. But, you know, we shouldn't put our own personal things into this, but I want to tell you both, we love you, and thank you so much, and everyone out there, thank you for being part of our show tonight. We really love you. And
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we're going to end the show tonight with a very, very special song, which I especially love. And it's Cindy Berryhill, and she wrote a song called When Did Jesus Become a Republican? And I'm going to play that.
Oh, great.
When did Jesus become a Republican? I thought he was a poor man's friend. Saw an old seat right there in my time of need. When did Jesus turn the tables on him and join the money lender instead of sharing with the leper selling shares of Halliburton? When did Jesus tear away the heartland from the New York Island? Start throwing stones at the helpless when you can't get health insurance. Take away the shelters for the homeless. This don't sound like you, Jesus. When did become a Republican? I thought he was a poor man's friend. Saw an old seed right there in my time on me. When did Jesus become a politician?
Wandering worker, I go from town to town, and the police make it hard wherever I may go, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore. My sisters are stranded on this road, a hot and dusty road that a million feet have trod. Rich man took my home and drove me from my door, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore. Was a farming on the shares, and always I was poor. My crops I lay into the banker's store. My wife took down and died up on the cabin floor, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore. Now as I look around, it's mighty plain to see, this world is such a great and a funny place to be. All the gambling man is rich and the working man is poor, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore.